presents Raise the Love with Kitty Blewett, Kenneth Connor, Leighton Brown, Rosalind Knight, and starring Ted Ray.
Hello? Yes. Oh, it's you, Ruth. Oh, I'm glad you rang. Hey, what a great idea that was of yours for the dressmaking competition. I mean, borrowing those lifelike dummies from Toil's modistes. Yeah, I've been working on mine all afternoon. In fact, I've just put it away. Yeah. Ted's going to get quite a surprise when he sees what I can do with a needle. What? Uh-oh. Oh, just a minute, Ruth. I think I can hear him coming now. Yes, there's a little whiff of mild and bitter floating through the letterbox. That'll be him. Anyway, I'll see you later this evening, huh? All right, dear. Bye-bye for now.
You, Kitty. Your busy little bee has come back to his honey. Give us a great big kiss for coming back.
Oh, my. You've only been away 5 hours.
Well, it shows I'm not cooling off.
Yeah.
You know, dear, we do get on very well, don't we?
Yes, sir. Maybe it's just as well. After all, we are married.
Well, that's what I mean. In spite of that, we get on very well.
Yes.
I'm a lucky fellow.
Really?
I was just thinking tonight, I'm a lucky fellow. I come back to my snug little home and everything's waiting for me. The empty coal bucket by the kitchen door. My slippers warming by the red crepe paper in the grate.
Oh.
And lastly, your mother's picture facing the wall. Just as I like it.
Ted, now there you go again. You see, you cannot resist making a target of my mother.
It's cheaper than mine, Adolfo.
Yeah, Ted. I'm not going to get involved in this conversation. For one thing, I want to get dinner out of the way quickly. I'm going out tonight.
Oh, and where might you be going, pray?
Mm.
I know. You're going to meet the milkman at the end of his round.
Oh. Well, you be serious, Ted. I'm going up to see Ruth Potter about the dressmaking competition, that's all.
Oh, she's glib. Glib. That's what she is. Mrs. Ray?
Mm-hmm.
And that's to remind you.
Yes.
You are in love with Fred Potter. I should have known it before, so that's why I grew that moustache.
Well, of course.
Some marriage this is. It's a mockery.
Oh.
This barrier of deceit. It's just as well I found out the true position while I'm still young. I can't go on living a lie, I'll tell you that. I shall be forced to contact my solicitors, Messrs. Shakespeare, Nettlehead, and Grimbold.
What about liver, bacon, and tomatoes?
No, Shakespeare, Nettlehead, and Grimbold.
Oh, no.
Isn't it marvellous? She hasn't listened to one word I've said. Perhaps it's just as well. I didn't mean it, but it pays to keep them on their toes, you know.
Well, here you are, darling. I'll put all this on a tray. Now, mind how you do.
All right, but it's not easy. I find the tomato juice always runs to the corners.
Oh. Well, I won't be long, Ted, when I'm out. I'm sure you can amuse yourself while I'm gone, darling. Browse through an old diary or something.
Please. There's nothing sacred. As a matter of fact, I've got a very good thriller to read.
Really?
I found it on the train.
Oh.
Yes. It's called Death in a Wellington Boot.
Now, that sounds cheerful.
Oh, it's a proper spine chiller.
Mm-hmm.
Grim right through.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it should be. It's written by the authors of Hancock's Half Hour.
Well, I'll leave you to it, darling. Now, don't get too worked up, will you? See you later, Ted. Bye.
Yes, bye-bye, darling. And give my regards to the Potters.
I will.
That's it. Now to settle down to this. Slowly the door opened, and there, hanging from a beam, was a body. Both feet were encased in reinforced concrete. A knife protruded from each shoulder blade. And there were a number of bullet wounds in the chest. Inspector Clark dismissed the idea of suicide. And turning to his assistant, he said meaningly, "Always use balsam's ointment. It's wonderful for spots and flat feet." Wonder why he said that. Oh, why do they have to stick adverts between the pages? I'll read on. At that moment, there were loud screams from the billiard room, the potting shed, and the attic. And then, without warning, the light went out. Uh-huh. That's a coincidence. So is this one. It's that perishing fuse box under the stairs.
I'll go and fix it. Ah, here's the cupboard. Now, good heavens, what's fallen down? What does Kitty have to leave her ironing board under the stairs for? Where's my torch? Ah, that's better.
Oh, no. A body. A girl's body, fully dressed. She's cold. Kitty.
Oh, I'd better ring the police. Oh, no, I can't do that. Not with my record. I've already parked my tandem on an odd date. Listen to the radio without a license. They'd fling the book at me this time. This is terrible. How did this poor creature get here? So young looking, too. I'd better ring Kitty at the Potter's. Oh, no, she'd never believe this. I'll put this in the greenhouse while I think of something. Yeah, perhaps I'd better ring the police and explain the whole ghastly thing.
You look quite shocking this morning, Ted. What would you like for your breakfast?
Don't talk about breakfast like that, dear.
Uh-huh.
You make it sound like my last one. Anyway, the whole thing will be cleared up, I'm sure, uh-huh, as soon as the police arrive.
Well, of course it will, darling. What? The police? What police? What's happened?
I can't tell you, dear. I can't tell you. It's something I've got to live with on my own.
Oh, no.
This will be there now. I let them in.
Yes.
You just keep calm,
yes,
darling.
Calm, yes.
You don't know a thing about
not
this.
Not a thing.
See?
No.
You're completely in the dark about the whole thing.
Yes. You can say that again.
Ah, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
P.C. Basil Butterfield at your service. What? And come along now. What naughty, naughty things have you been getting up to?
Oh, don't stand there. Come in, Butterfield. But look, I'm not saying a word until I've consulted Spokeshave, Grimlover, and Bacon. Oh, no, what am I talking? Look. Come up to the greenhouse. You stay here, Kitty.
Yes, wait a minute. What's going on here, Ted? You're hiding something.
You mean you know?
Huh?
I mean, what are you talking about?
Oh.
Please, Basil is licking his pencil and tapping his truncheon.
Very clever. Come on, Basil. Come on, let's get it over. There we are, officer. You look first.
Thank you. Oh, I say, I say. Isn't it hotties in here? Oh, I say, what lovely lilies of the valley. Now, what is this lady's frocky doing here in this pool of wax, huh?
Wax? Wax? Let me see that. Oh, Kitty, everything's all right, dear. I'm out of trouble.
Oh, that's good, Ted. I'm coming because maybe you could let... No, look at my model, Ted. Now, what strange explanation have you got for moving my poor dummy up here? Do you know I only borrowed that? Do you know that they cost £55, Ted? Oh, now, this one's completely written off, to say nothing of the dress you've gone and ruined. Incidentally, never mind about waiting for your solicitors. I'd like some details right now.
Yes, and sir, does Basil, too. I mean, policemen on wild goose chases, what? Lashing the taxpayers' money during Don Draney's. And no promotion for Basil.
Now, listen to me, Basil and Kitty. You don't know what I've been through in the last few hours.
No?
You could have told me about this. You're as much to blame as I am, dear.
Oh.
Look, please. What Basil wants to know is, what is he going to put in his reporting?
Who cares?
Well, that's right. Who cares? Yes. Oh, wait a minute. There is one way out. Look, put it down as a mild flirtation.
Yeah, that's it. Wait a minute. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, you were never keen about that girl I knew in the Wrens.
Huh?
Now I finish up with the girl in the wax. How about that? Good morning, Gloria. So nice to see you looking so cheerful, gay, carefree, and without a worry in the world.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Ray. Mind you, I do have my teeny worries. The Honorable Timothy has just heard from his father that he's been cut off without a shilling.
Oh, isn't that a shame? Nothing to put in the gas meter. But that's just trivial. I've lost 55 pounds.
Mr. Ray, do tell Gloria how you did it. Did you give up potatoes?
I didn't mean in weight, dear. This is 55 pounds in hard cash. To make that up, I'll have to cut out meat as well. It was all a shocking mistake, though. Gloria, look, dear, I've got to get an advance from Trumbull. After all, was it my fault that the lights went out and I found a girl under the stairs and when I put her in the greenhouse, she melted?
No, Mr. Ray, I don't suppose it was for a second. But actually, don't you think it might be advisable to rephrase the story a bit for Mr. Trumbull's benefit?
I don't see why. After all, it's the truth. I can't put it any plainer than that, can I? I'm going straight in there and lay the facts before him man to man.
Oh, dear, Mr. Ray, do you really think you should?
Yes, I do. It's time old straining braces gave me a helping hand. I'm going in. I'll see you in a minute. Larry.
Well, I made that 35 seconds, Mr. Ray.
And the next time you want to get money out of me, Ray, for heaven's sake, think up something with a grain of truth in it.
Mr. Trumbull, that is the truth. It could happen to anybody.
Don't keep on about it, Ray. Prattle if you wish, but don't repeat that absurd story. Who ever heard of anyone finding a woman under the stairs?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, you have a very convenient memory, haven't you? You've forgotten the time you found your Mariah under the stairs? Swigging gin out of a hot water bottle?
Lies, Ray, lies. Anyway, it was a saucepan. No racket. I'm not wasting any more time, Ray. Even you will agree that one time waster in the firm is sufficient.
Mr. Trumbull, what about my doing overtime? Time and a half after 3 o'clock. And double time after 5. I'll work like a Trojan, Mr. Trumbull. Oh, I will Troy hard.
There's just one way out of this, Ray.
Yes, sir.
You'll have to practice a few economies. Cancel your firework car. Cut out 2 comics a week.
My comics. You would hit a man when he's down, wouldn't you? You knew that they were giving away a catapult this week. Mind you, I could sell the back numbers to the fishmonger. He's paying threepence a pound. But Mr. Trumbull, dear Mr. Trumbull, you don't know what it's like to eat Trumbull pie. especially warmed up on Mondays. It's worse than bubble without the squeak.
May I take it that you've quite finished, Gray? Good. Now, I want you to confirm with the travel people that my continental holiday is booked. I'm going to Spain.
Spain? Isn't that very expensive?
Well, not really. Only £55. Hey, Ray.
You can sneer. I know one thing. While you're enjoying yourself burying your Mariah in the sand, I'll be here still on the rocks.
You've simply got to do something about this. I only borrowed that dummy. Now they're asking for it back.
I'm working on it, dear.
Oh.
Anyway, it's a ridiculous price. Hmm? Whoever heard of paying £55 for a dummy?
Well, I've got to agree with you there. I've got mine for 7 and 6 and none of your worldly goods. I didn't mean to pick on you, but honestly, some of the things you do, darling. Apart from all this, you're still at the firm you started with when you left school. Now, really... That was supposed to be temporary while you were waiting for a decent job.
That's not my fault either. It really isn't. After all, these days there's no call for a fully qualified button hook maker.
Well, I suppose not. Then again, those evening classes you went to for lamplighting were absolutely wasted.
Well, in a way, that's really been my trouble, Kitty. I specialize.
Yes. Specialize, yeah. Man says. Yeah. Well, me, I've got some shopping to do, so I'll let you figure it out. I'll see you later, Instigator.
Oh, well. Now for a little lolly raising. I didn't bother to tell Kitty. I already had an idea. She'd never understand it anyway. You know, women are. Anyway, taking things to a pawnbroker isn't like selling them. We can always pop in and look at them when we want to. Get a viewing permit, you know, for the pledges. Now, first of all, there's this China Alsatian. That tail's chipped off, but I can always say it came from the Isle of Man. Then there's Kitty's bedroom slippers and her mother's hip baths. One for each hip. Yes, that should do for a start. I can always pick up a few more knick-knacks on the way down. Now to go down to Uncle's. Oh, the things that poor relations have to do. Ah, this is the place, and what a mixture of articles in the window. One roller skate, a pith helmet, two Christmas trees, a mangle and a turnstile. Hello? No doorbell this week? Ah, the governor must have pawned it. And what's this thing?
Thank you, nine.
No, I don't mind, as long as you're happy.
Thank you very much indeed. My name is Uncle Sidney Mincing. And I happen to be the proprietor of this pop down and pop it and hop back and hock it emporium. What can I do for you then?
Well, it's like this, Mincing. I am temporarily embarrassed and I brought along some family heirlooms and I want to leave them in your safekeeping.
Yes, very well. But I'm warning you, I want no repetition of what happened last week.
Really?
A certain individual pawned a trio of metallic globes, and I didn't find out till closing time that it was my sign.
You could call that a slip at Sly Corner, Mincing, couldn't you?
Thanks. Really? Will you please try stop to slipping those sly ones in like that?
Yes, well, you got out of that very nicely.
Thank you very much.
Well, anyway.
What are you laughing at now, sir?
The next line.
Good.
Have a look at my heirlooms. Now, what about these? Look, two perfect cricket stumps.
Two cricket stumps, huh?
Yeah.
Two. One, two. Just a moment, just wait. I thought so. Wait. Here we are. I have a third one here, plus a set of bales. You can have them for 7 and 6.
Thank you, Mincing. Thank you. You're a very generous fellow. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not in here to give you money. What are you doing to me? For a start, you can take those cricket stumps back.
Very well, if that's how you feel about it. Here's 4 shillings.
Isn't it marvellous? And I've just given you 7 and 6 for them.
But they're third hand now.
Just value my heirlooms and let me get out of here.
Mm-hmm. I can assume once more, by your indecent haste, that you are averse to hearing the epic tale of a gentleman who could not leave his money to his son.
You're quite right, Mincing.
Oh, I thought that might be the case, so I took the precaution of locking the door. You see, it transpires that this wealthy gentleman would have left his son a large sum of money, but for an unforeseen circumstance.
What was that, Mincing, he said, tugging at the front door?
His son was entirely bald.
Really?
Mm.
I suppose his dad decided to gloss over it.
Sydney's talking. Sydney is talking.
And for once, I don't care. Look, as I see it, Mincing, you know a geezer with oodles of boodle who has a son with no hair on his noodle. Mm. And for some reason, the son has got to remain lolliless. Why is that?
Well, you see?
Yeah.
He cannot leave his son any money.
Because he... Mincing, you ought to be scalped for this.
But he still can't leave the money to his bald-headed son. Because he has no heir apparent. Good morning.
Oh, Ted, honestly, you're getting in deeper and deeper every minute. Whatever made you bring this thing home?
Well, surely it's better than nothing, Kitty. I couldn't raise any money to replace the dummy, so I had the idea of borrowing this from the Institute for next week's pageant.
Oh, now that's great. But did it have to be Lady Godiva? And on a horse?
Well, I still think it's a good idea.
Oh, please.
But we'd better pull the curtains, you know. Huh? Well, you never know with that peeping Ginger Tom from next door.
I might as well give up. Whoever heard of anybody doing dressmaking up a ladder?
Ethel Revnell?
Oh, please.
Sorry.
Did you have to do a stupid thing like this? You could have at least borrowed a more suitable model, maybe.
But there wasn't a very big selection, dear. It was either this one or Napoleon.
Oh.
And I thought this was getting nearer the right shape. You see?
Well, that's something. Just leave it there in the lounge, Ted. And there's one thing for sure. If I lose this competition because it's all your fault, well, I've got a good idea that I'll never speak to you again. Not ever.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. So I'm to be sent to Coventry, eh?
Oh.
Mind you, I wouldn't mind if all the girls looked like her.
Ted.
Kitty, aren't you absolutely positive that there isn't a better way of doing things?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I only want a little more time and I can get everything straightened out.
Yes, Ted. You've had all the time you're going to get, boy. Now, this is Toils Modiste, and you're going in to make a clean breast of it, believe me.
All right. Just hope he understands, that's all.
Good morning, Mr. Rice. And Mrs. Rice.
Good morning, Harry.
Morning.
Come to Herbie's Gown Shop. I'm a specialist in horticulture.
You could mean haute couture, you old fool. I mean, Madame Toy.
No. Horticulture. We sell wheelbarrows on the side.
Ladies, gowns and wheelbarrows. They must do a roaring trade here.
Herbie, come here.
Yes.
Mr. Ray has a confession to make about the dummy I borrowed, remember?
Yes.
Go ahead and tell him, Ted. Go on, quickly.
Yes. Well, it's like this, Herbie. You're the man of the world.
Yes.
You've got to be. Look, I found your dummy under the stairs, you see?
Yes.
And I put it in the greenhouse and it melted, so I had to make do with Lady Godiva. Got me?
Thank you, Mr. Ray, for the explanation.
Good.
I haven't understood a word.
That's fine. Come on, Kitty, let's get out of here before he works it out.
Just a minute, Mr. Ray.
Yeah?
Yeah, got it. Is Herbie to understand that he's not getting his dummy back?
Well, you could say that, or at least not in the same shape. I'll bring it round and push it under the door sometime.
There's a queer quirk of fate for you. The only one I ain't. Oh, never mind. Which way it goes?
Well, I knew you'd see it our way, Herbie. It's all settled then.
In a way.
Fine.
It's all about the £55 it cost. Don't seem to realise. I'm showing my spring collection next week.
Yeah?
And it's not going to be very easy, you know, without a dummy.
No.
One bridal gown on a plastic hanger and an hat on a stick. It'd largely attract the nobles obliged or the objects start and all that mob.
No.
No.
The nobles obliged.
No.
Yes, I've got you. Yes, you have a point there, Toyle. But look, I'm sure that we can work something out to our mutual satisfaction.
Of course we can, Mr. Hunter.
Good.
Just let me have the £55.
You know, you've got a one-track mind, Herbert, keeping on about money. You're becoming money mad, you know that? It's a terrible thing. You know, there's one thing about you, Herbert, that puzzles me. I can't imagine how you ever got into this business.
Oh, well, it was my Rosalie's idea, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she's very fashion conscious, you know. Very, she's got the flair for creations.
Yeah, she should have set fire to some of these.
Apart from that, you know, she couldn't see no future. You know, jelly the stall.
I can imagine that. Just think of it. You're Rosalie. What a wonderful model. I can just picture her in the sack look. She'd look like 300 weight of coke.
My Rosalie. In the sack look. 300. Coke. You are very rude, eh?
Well, well, you could have fooled me, Doyle.
Yeah, well, you're not fooling old Irby, mate. If I don't get I £55 in time for me spring collection here, I'm going to make other arrangements about you.
Other arrangements, eh? Well, all right, I'll think of something. In the meantime, I leave you to your creations.
Oh, well, righty-o, Mr. Rachel.
I fully realize that when you're in the short hemline business, it is, you know.
It is what, Mr. Rice? It's all show. Oh, my God.
Ah, good morning, Mrs. Ray.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Doing a little window shopping? I'm after a thick felt veil for my Mariah.
Yes. Well, actually, I'm looking for Ted. He said he was coming down the high street. Maybe he's rushed in to see Mr. Toyle about that dummy.
Oh?
This is his place, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mr. Trumbull. Just look at that beautiful hat. Knocked down to 15 guineas in 11.3.
Cheap.
And that heavenly bridal veil. Please, it can't be. Mr. Trumbull, can you see what I can see?
Yes. A bridal gown with a blushing ray inside it. What are you doing in the window, Ray?
They would have to come down this morning, wouldn't they? So this was Paul's other arrangement. Me a stand-in for a dummy. If I couldn't pay up. And there they go again, these flipping lilies. They keep dropping. And this isn't the end. What about this afternoon? I shall never get over this.
Oh, what could have happened to Ted? He's disappeared from Toyle's window, and now he's going to miss the pageant. There's the Boy Scouts tableau. Now the historical section's going by. Gosh, what's that at the back on a white horse?
I had to do it, Kitty.
Huh?
They wouldn't listen to me.
No.
Oh, this draft offenders be present. I shall never do this again. Never.
That was Raise a Laugh with Kitty Blewett, Kenneth Connor, Layden Brown, Rosalind Knight, and starring Ted Ray. The program was written by Bernard Botting and Charles Hart and produced for the BBC by Leslie Bridgman.